College football is arguably the most popular sport in the Southeast. That certainly rings true here in Georgia, home of the College Football Hall of Fame. But historically, black colleges and universities disproportionately face a challenge out on the field. The problem stems from so-called guarantee games. These are matchups where a large school, often with a robustly funded athletics department, plays a smaller school, and they pay them a significant sum of money to schedule the game. That kind of payout can be a big help to financially strapped athletics departments, but does it put HBCU players at an unnecessary risk of harm? Ken Rashad, he's the editor and publisher of HBCU Sports. He's joining us via Skype. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
For folks who are listening who might not be so familiar with this, why on earth would a big, rich college football team want to schedule a game with a team that they far outclass, where it's really not going to be a match? Ken, can you explain that?
Well, when you have a big school like Georgia, who on any given Saturday at a home game can generate a crowd anywhere from 75 to 80,000 people, no matter who the opponent might be, it's considered somewhat of a win-win, if you will. They're going to still get the same amount of people in the stands. They're going to still sell the same amount of tickets, but they don't necessarily have to worry about the same type of payout. So when they play against a lower tier opponent, they basically maximize what they take in from ticket sales. And at the same time, they are able to reward the opponent, if you will, with a payout that typically is substantial compared to what they would normally play for in any given Saturday.
Okay. So Andrea Patillo, athletic director of Morehouse College, what does this have to do with HBCUs in particular? A guarantee game could be scheduled against any smaller school that doesn't have as much money for its athletics department. What does this have to do with HBCUs in particular?
Historically, black colleges, along with any other small colleges, obviously our budget is very tight. So to have an opportunity to participate in a game that would offer your program a guarantee that would help you with the finances for your athletic department, oftentimes you want to take advantage of it. I have a different approach. I don't mind playing guarantee games, but I also like to look at the welfare of my student athletes. I will not actually put my program up against a program that I think is going to cause any particular bodily harm to my student athletes, as well as jeopardize the season that we have for ourselves. We're participating in the Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. We're competing for a conference championship. Our athletes are not as in depth in terms of having one, two, three guys in every position. So every athlete on my program is essential to my program. So I'm not going to put my program at risk to go out and play a ball game to receive finances just to help boost the financial economy of the institution and the athletic program at the risk of giving my student athletes the opportunity to compete for a conference championship.
It may seem obvious to you, Andre, but for folks who don't understand how this works, why would playing a football game against a vastly superior opponent be a physical risk for a player? I mean, football is inherently physically dangerous all the time. Why does that pose particular physical risk to players?
Well, you mentioned the University of Georgia and Louisiana Monroe, but you also can listen to the University of Georgia and Southern University from the SWAC, where Southern University played University of Georgia a couple of years ago, and I think everybody in the state of Georgia is aware of the fact that one of Southern's best student athletes was paralyzed, and he's paralyzed for life. And they did that at the expense of the money that they received from the University of Georgia, but personally, I think the quality in terms of the experience that student-athletes have at the institution far more outgrows and more valuable than the actual finances that it would receive from the institution that they're competing against.
All right. My guests are Ken Rashad of HBCU Sports, and also with us is who you just heard there, Andre Patillo. He's the athletic director at Morehouse. We're talking about guarantee games in college football and whether or not they adversely affect HBCUs in particular. Ken, would you say that HBCUs are unfairly targeted for these games?
I wouldn't say unfairly targeted, but I believe they are targeted in ways that don't necessarily reflect football.
Explain that.
One of the allures of HBCU football is more than just what is the product on the actual field for four quarters. There is also a certain attraction to the halftime show, which are obviously the HBCU marching bands. And yeah, in cases of Southern University, Grambling, and other HBCUs who are known to have excellent band programs, that is somewhat of a target that many of these Division I programs will go after. They will say, well, you know what, in addition to the football game, we may not necessarily have quite a competition there for four quarters, but we are going to be able to entertain our crowd with a pretty excellent halftime show. And so that is also a part of the negotiations that many of these schools, the HBCUs, are aware of this, and they will say, okay, to get our football team there, that's going to cost you one thing, but if you want the band to appear as well, that's going to cost you something else. So that is, whether you call it fairly or unfairly, that is certainly a factor that is considered when these games are negotiated before they're actually played.
Andrea Patillo at Morehouse College, does what Ken described there ring true to you?
It absolutely rings true because of the entertainment that the Historically Black Colleges band provided at halftime. It's not something traditionally that the majority institution have an opportunity to witness. Yeah. But here again, we also participate in out-of-conference games this past year. We played Arkansas Pine Bluff. And my reason for playing Arkansas Pine Bluff, which is a Division I school out of the SWAC conference, is that I felt like we could compete. We got a guarantee for our program that would help our budget tremendously because all of the Historically Black College sports programs are suffering. So a lot of times we take those games so that we can get the guarantee that the institution is offering. But you have to sometimes decide whether or not the value of the guarantee that's being offered is worth the risk you're taking by putting your student athletes on the field with the opportunity, possibility of losing quality athletes that would help you be successful in your regular season being played.
I want to play a clip from documentary producer Jason Joseph. He created the film The Red Zone, The State of HBCU Sports. Here he's talking about the vast inequality between HBCU athletic programs and those at other major colleges. Let's listen.
In 2013, only 8 of the 21 teams in the two lone Division I HBCU conferences had an operating budget over $10 million. That's nearly half of fellow FCS counterpart Appalachian State's budget, and roughly 900% less than the budget for the University of Texas, which was $165 million.
Ken Rashad of HBCU Sports, what's going on here? Why are so many HBCU athletic departments struggling to make ends meet these days?
Well, that is a multi-layered, there's a multi-layered answer to that. Okay. I think in large part, to make it quick and easy, I think when you look at this from a historical standpoint, HBCUs have been historically, whether it be privately or publicly, especially at the public level, have been historically underfunded for decades. And what happens is that the process of being underfunded over time basically will lead to other unfortunate consequences that HBCUs find themselves having to address. So as a result of the entire institution not being properly funded, it obviously leads to other issues that eventually slide between the cracks and will eventually create more issues. And thus, as a result, you have administrators for various departments having to find unique or creative methods to make up for those deficits. And as a result, and I think we talked about this previously, I think personally there is a false narrative. I think in many instances the overall argument of HBCUs playing against Division I schools is just slightly overblown, and I think it may not necessarily be as dire as some are trying to make it.
Okay. Morehouse Athletic Director Andrea Patillo, last word goes to you. What do you advise your fellow colleagues at HBCUs, your counterparts at HBCUs around the region to do when they're presented with the opportunity of a guarantee game?
Oh, well, one, I think they have to decide whether or not the guarantee that they're taking is even worth it. Obviously, we have to make business decisions all the time. And I, myself at Morehouse, obviously Morehouse is an institution that is respected all over the world. From an athletic standpoint, I'm approached quite often by some of the higher Division I schools, not the Division I majority institution, but most of the Division I Historically Black colleges, about whether or not I want to participate in a guaranteed game with those institutions. And at the same time, I have to put, what's the value of the money that I'm receiving based on the value of the quality of life for my student athletes. Obviously, at Morehouse, we try to create the most competitive and attractive athletic program there is, but our priority is bringing our young men to Morehouse, getting a quality education so that they can graduate and participate with a quality of life. And I'm not going to jeopardize the quality of life with one of my student athletes to participate at a higher level football game because of a dollar that's being offered for my program. That's not something that I'm interested in.
And that's Andre Patillo. He's the director of athletics for Morehouse College. We also spoke with Ken Rashad, editor and publisher of HBCU Sports. Thank you, gentlemen, both so much.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.